What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back. This is Landing on the Plains, and I am your host, Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we got a good one for you because, first and foremost, shortly ago, just today was announced who would be representing Auburn a week from today down in Tampa for SEC Media Days. And, you know, SEC Media Days always signal one thing, you know, that football is officially here. So today we're talking about, you know, the three men that Auburn selected to represent us at SEC Media Days. And kind of what that means to me and kind of why it matters. And then following that, we'll kind of get into the win total for Auburn being set at 6.5, 6.5 over under on the win total for Auburn. So, you know, is that too high? Is that too low or is it just right? We'll get into all of that. And so let's jump straight into it. As I mentioned, just a couple of hours ago, they announced who would be the attendees at SEC Media Days for Auburn. And representing Auburn will be, of course, head coach Alex Golish. And joining him will be quarterback Byron Brown, as well as senior safety Champ Anthony and kicker Alex McPherson. And so I think these selections kind of reaffirm for me really kind of some of the things I've been seeing and saying for quite some time. And it kind of what I anticipate to go down once the season gets here. And so for starters, I've been clamoring at the fact that Alex McPherson is back. And that alone is so big time for us. You're talking about a kid who is perfect in extra points, knock on wood. You know, you're talking about a guy who is 29 for 30 in his career inside of 40 yards. 29 of 30 inside of 40. And 38 out of 41 in his career inside of 50. So this guy is pretty much automatic. And for us, the kicking game has been an area of, you know, struggles the last couple of years, just with the health of Alex over the last, you know, two seasons and just that being a sore spot for us. And so I've alluded to it in the past, you know, previous episodes as well, just how difficult it was for us to score points last year sometimes just because we would stall out in the red zone and unless we were in pretty much extra point range, it was not a guaranteed field goal for us. And so, I mean, just getting this guy back healthy, him being back healthy, showing his leg strength is back in the spring game, and then, you know, just being selected as one of the guys to represent his team at SEC Media Days, to me just shows that, you know, he's gained all the respect from his teammates. Just with all the adversity he has overcome, you know, that he's battled back from, that he's, you know, gotten through to come back for, you know, his last year, last ride at Auburn and to be selected by coaches to go and represent his university is big time. And so I don't think we need to kind of gloss over the fact that, you know, of all the talented guys on this roster, you know, one of the most important people for our season, one of the most important facets of the game, the kicking game, you know, our main guy is back. And so I think that's very important. And that's something that I've been excited about. I obviously expected to see quarterback Byron Brown as well. And I think, you know, this is on par for, you know, the expectations for him as well as this offense. And I expect him to lead this offense in commanding fashion this season. And, you know, just headed into SEC Media Days, I know he's going to represent himself well, represent the school well, and you're just talking about a guy who is very comfortable. And this is, you know, a facet of the game that people are glossing over when it comes to Auburn. Like, you're talking about a guy who is very comfortable in this system and this scheme. And so the expectations for him are high, and we're going to get into that a little bit later down the road in the episode when we kind of dive a little bit deeper into this over under. But I'm expecting big things from him. Not surprised to see him on this list whatsoever. And so just big time, just reaffirming, you know, he's the leader of that unit. And so excited to see that as well. And lastly, for the player side of things, safety Champ Anthony. And this one is one that, you know, for me, I was really excited to see this one just because he's another guy that I've been talking about. Like, if we can have this guy healthy, like, it just opens up so many things for us on the back end, and really our entire defense, just because he's so versatile, he's experienced, and he's that vocal leader. He's the guy who sets the tempo, sets the tone back there. And like I said, he's overcome so much adversity, back-to-back leg injuries to end his seasons the last couple of years. And so, but you're talking about a guy who has played outside. He can play nickel. He can play safety. And so I expected him to really, really break out this season and have his best year yet. And so I think him being one of the guys who, again, he's a former captain as well. And so you're talking about a guy who is well-respected, who's going to go and represent the school the right way. And so excited to see that as well. And then lastly, but not least, of course, the head coach, Alex Golish. And so I think for me, I'm excited to see him just because, you know, from a coach's perspective, like SEC Media Days is, you know, the time for these coaches to go in and, you know, to ask all these questions. And, you know, a lot of them give the politically correct answers, and as they should. But from a player's perspective, you want to see your coach go out there and exude confidence. And so I have no doubt that he'll do that. But I just want to see his personality shine next week at SEC Media Days and, you know, just kind of reaffirm, you know, all of these things we've been, you know, witnessing from the outside in, really. And, you know, kind of just add to the excitement heading into the season. And so really looking forward to SEC Media Days again next Tuesday. It will be July 21st down in Tampa, Florida. And, you know, when it comes to SEC Media Days, I do have a story about that because I, too, was supposed to be at SEC Media Days. But I had a situation where, you know, I broke some team rules, in all honesty, and it was part of my punishment, and I ended up not going. And so just kind of take you back a little bit, man, like, it's honestly one of my biggest regrets just because, like, that's an experience of a lifetime. Like, you're talking about SEC Media Day, the time for you to, you like, really represent your university, represent your school. And, you know, I just, it was a situation where, you know, I was wrong. Flat out, I was wrong. And, you know, it was one of them things where, you know, my father always taught me, you know, good or bad, when you do things, you know, there will be consequences. And as a man, you accept those consequences. And, you know, I remember, you know, having a very long interaction and meeting with Coach Harrison at the time, who was the head coach. And like, that was probably one of the most disappointed I had ever seen anybody in me, like definitely top three in my entire life. And like, man, I was sick to my stomach just because it's like, you know, like if you could take it back, you would, right? But it's like, at the end of the day, like, I was wrong. And, you know, I had to, you know, take my punishment on the chin. And so it came with a lot of running, some early mornings during the summertime, and obviously not being able to hop on that jet with Bo Nix and Owen Papo, two captains as well, and obviously represent my school at SEC Media Days. And so, again, like, that's something that I, you know, probably one of the biggest regrets when it comes to, you know, playing football, and not even just outside of football, just life in general, just because, like, that would have been such a cool experience, something you'll never forget. But, you know, definitely lesson learned, because, you know, when the punishment is that kind of scarring and long lasting, is just something that you never forget. And so, yeah, life is all about lessons and learning and growing. And definitely learn from that situation. And, you know, and obviously, you know, at SEC Media Days, a big topic of discussion will be expectations, and expectations when it comes to obviously wins and losses on the field in year one in this new era with this new coaching staff. And so, you know, the over under right now for wins is set at 6.5 wins for Auburn. And so, in my opinion, I think you absolutely smashed over. And like, I would be disappointed. Like, even if we hit the over and we, you know, go 7-5, like, to me, that is a disappointing season. I think if you look back at the end of November, you know, when things are said and done and we are 6-6 or we're 7-5, like, I really think that means we left a lot of food on the table. Like, I think that means we really missed out on some really key opportunities to, you know, capitalize and obviously win football games. And so, I just don't foresee us taking a step backwards than, you know, what we've been putting on the field, you know, the last couple of years. And I think the offense will be, you know, 10 times better than it has been. And I'll tell you why. Like, first and foremost, obviously, better quarterback play. That we have been in quarterback hell for the last couple of years for obvious reasons. And like, we just brought in a guy who, like, the outside noise to me doesn't matter. Like, when it comes to this guy, like, I've seen the games, I've seen the film, like, I've watched the games, and like, the dude can freaking play. He can ball, and he's built like a freaking tank. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and he's coming into a familiar system. Like, this is a guy who has been in this system for years and has shown that he will excel in this system. So why do people not think that same production will be replicated at Auburn? This play caller, this head coach that we have, has had major success at every single stop he's had as a play caller. This offense, it works. It puts up points. It does. It puts up major points. Major production everywhere he's been. And so I'm supposed to just believe because it came to Auburn, it's supposed to stop? No. This is what we've been waiting on. And so when you couple the fact that, you know, play caller, coach, quarterback, all of that came together at the same time, like, quarterback play will be consistent. It will be better than it has been and will be better dramatically. So that alone will make the offense better. But you continue to move down the line, the running back play will be better. Yeah, we have the same running back from last year, but he'll be better than he was last year, and he'll be used more than he was last year. There were so many moments last year where we were just begging the last coach, we won't say any names, the last coach, to just run the damn ball. Like, we got a top three back in the league, and you won't run the ball consistently. And so the fact that he'll be used consistently, the fact that he'll be, you know, heavily involved in game plans, the fact that he's a year stronger, a year faster, a year wiser, like, our RB1 is a lot better. And then on top of that, we brought in some key depth and Bryce Washington from Baylor, who is very productive, you know, and we still have depth behind him as well. And so the running back room is better. And moving down the line, the tight end play will be better. I mean, that it goes without saying, honestly. It's kind of hard to not have a better tight end play than we had last year. And that's all I'll say about that. But we'll have better tight end play. And I think the O-line also will be better once things are all said and done when we look back on the end of the season, just because I think we really improved at the tackle position. And I think that was really a sore spot for us last year. I think we lost a really good center in Connor Liu. And we lost another good guy that I like in Jeremiah Wright at guard, who ended up going to the Saints. And so those two guys on the interior, we'll have to replace those guys. But it doesn't hurt that we brought in the center from USF, who also has continuity with Byron Brown, who also has been in the system and has played in and had experience in the system. And so, you know, you couple that in with the fact that, you know, we upgraded at the tackle position. Like, I think this O-line will prove to be really, really solid and, you know, trending upwards. And that's all you could really ask for. And lastly, just as a whole, like, the entire offense, like, pause, 1, 2, 3. And then lastly, as a whole, I just think the wide receiver room will be a lot more productive as a whole than last year. And I really don't think that's a hot take. Like, I don't think there is, like, well, I don't, it's not a, I don't think, I know. There's not a Cam Coleman type of freak in the wide receiver room. Like, and that's cool. There's only a couple freaks like that in the country anyway. But as a whole, this receiver room will definitely be a lot more productive than the receiver room last year as a whole. And so I think when you just look at everything I just mentioned in totality, like, the offense will be night and day. And so when you continue to move down, you know, obviously the phases of the game, like, the defense will be good as well. Like, we have a really, really, really good defense. And I'm going to hold out calling them elite until, you know, we get through a couple of games and we get through, you know, some adverse situations. And we show that, you know, we can make those key plays in opportune times. But when you look at that linebacker room, when you look at the depth that we have in that secondary and the guys that we can move around, like, I'm telling you, man, like, that offense of production, that play caller, that coach who's had production everywhere he's been, with DJ Durkin and that defense, those freaks that we got, come on, man. And like I've been saying, the kicker is now healthy. Like, we're going to be a way better football team than we were last year. We are night and day. And we weren't even terrible. It was just we couldn't finish no damn football games. So, yeah, when you look at what Golish's offenses have done historically, and you take that into consideration with everything else I mentioned, like, I just think 6.5 is smashed over. Like I said, if you look back at the end of November, you know, after Thanksgiving, when things are said and done and we're 6-6, 7-5, like, I think there will be a lot of disappointed people. It will be, and I'll be one of them, because I just, even looking at the schedule, like, I'm not going to sit here and say we're going to go undefeated, but it's like, every game is not only winnable, but it's like, we stack up well. We stack up well. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Is 6.5 wins for Auburn too low? Is it just right? And how many wins would it take this season, you know, for you to consider it a success? I know I got a number in my head, but I'd love to hear, you know, a little bit of feedback. So that's all we got for today's episode. You know, if you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and make sure you tune in for the next one. And as always, War Eagle.